Broadcasting live from the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in the ASTD International Convention and Expo.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton at ASTD 2014 in Washington, D.C. Stone, I'm excited about this crew we got in here right now.
Hey, this is going to be a fantastic segment. I am so looking forward to having this conversation. I postponed my lunch, Lee. That is not something
that you do for anybody.
That I've ever done for anybody. But this is going to be an exciting conversation. We have with us from Emirates Airline, Brendan Noonan and Joyce Donahoe. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Well, we are delighted to have you. Brendan, I want to start with you, if I could. Emirates Airline is actually, I have seen you guys at a couple of conferences lately, in the last year or so. It really took me aback, really surprised me. You guys are making a real name for yourself. Get us caught up, man. What's been happening over the last couple of years out there?
Okay, I think if you look at the aviation business in general, it is slowly changing in terms of how it works. Our philosophy as an organization is that you can fly from anywhere in the world to anywhere in the world with a stop in Dubai. And if you look geographically at the world map, you can actually see from the west coast of the States to the east coast of Australia, Dubai is roughly in the middle of the world. So we're the center of aviation.
Center of the world.
That's
a great
attitude. More companies can learn from that.
No kidding. This guy, he's quite the marketing guy. Now, Joyce, tell us a little bit about your role in the organization and what compelled you to join these folks.
Oh, that's a good question. I work with Brendan. We work in group learning and development. So we look after the learning and development needs of about 70,000 staff, actually.
Oh, my.
In the corporate world. We have various different functions within the building. We look after leadership training. I look after the commercial side of the house. We have an e-learning IT systems people, and we've got a huge operational team. So we look after all of the learning and development needs for the entire organization, really.
And that's on a worldwide basis.
Now, but you have people all over the world, right?
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
What's the challenge when you have a global learning environment like that?
I think the biggest single challenge is getting everybody trained and developed, because when you have so many people, even if we brought them all into Dubai in one go, it would be a real challenge. I mean, one of the reasons why we're over here in the States at the moment is we've just opened up a regional learning center in Houston, and Houston will look after all our training and development needs for the USA and hopefully Canada and possibly South America eventually.
Now, how do you get the culture of the airline kind of across to all of the people that are involved when they're all over the world?
I don't even know how you could get them to cross the street without getting hurt. I can't imagine getting that many people going in the same direction.
Well, we're very lucky. We have a multicultural environment in our organization. We have over 163 different nationalities who work for us.
Wow.
So the way we look at it is you bring the best of all the different cultures together, and from that you have a great potpourri of where you can make some really great things happen.
Donahoe, nice Emirati name. Tell us a little backstory, Joyce. How did you find yourself here?
Okay, interesting story, actually. I was with the Irish airline for over 20 years. I started at age 11, actually. So I'm probably one of the youngest employees that they've had.
I thought it was a plastic surgeon, but anyway.
And like all stories, my spouse decided to move to Emirates. And I had the decision that I maybe would like to retire for a while and, you know, kick up my feet and relax. But about 2 months into coming to live in Dubai, I thought, this isn't for me. And I had heard all about the great work of Emirates, always wanted to have them on my CV. And I was very fortunate to run into Brendan, who had heard that I was in town. And we met and we had, you know, some chats and discussions. And, you know, my profile fitted what he was looking for at the time. And I was lucky that I joined the organization within 2 or 3 months of being in the country.
And the two of you, obviously, you can see the chemistry just as you guys sit down and start to visit with us. When it comes to deciding what content to deliver and what strategic direction to take, I would think a great deal of that might come from on high, senior leadership. But do you have some mechanisms in place where you're also getting feedback and input from the middle of the ranks and from the rank and file in the organization?
Yeah, we've done a lot of work with Jim Kirkpatrick's group. And what we've done over the last couple of years is we're now working towards what is called a business partnership, where we're able to run learning and development initiatives, but we're able to show the business what the value is at the end of the day. And with their support and that they're part of the partnership, we can show that the training and development that's done will help the business strategies, which is one of the things I think that's missing in training generally today. A lot of training organizations run like factories. They send people into the training, they train them up, they send them back to the business. But the big question is, what are they actually learning? With the business partnership model, which Joyce will explain now shortly, that helps us to show the business what impact we've had and also what the long-term impact is in terms of profitability and also customer service.
Yeah, tell us about this business partnership model.
Yeah, sure. What we decided to do is our focus, you know, Brendan has already talked to you about the challenges and the growth strategy that we have as an organization. So we had to get, you know, performance. We're all about performance improvement. And we, you know, some people have as plaques on their wall that their people are the most important asset. We really believe that. You know, our product is great, but unless our people are great, you know, people will only remember the experience that they've got. So we were all about how do we improve performance, and we realized that training can't just do that by itself. Training is an event. We're a support mechanism. We can impart the learning. People can learn, but we've got to get people to actually do that at work. We realized then that that was only going to be achieved by a partnership with our business. So from an operational perspective, a leadership perspective, and also a learning and development perspective, we work together. So we would provide a learning and development solution only when we thoroughly understand the issues, what the business is trying to achieve. We don't believe in providing training for training's sake. It has to be, what do we want to do? What do we want our people to do? And how is that going to improve the organization? So we can only do that by closely building those relationships with our operational people, our management team. Once we know that, then we work very closely together to create a learning and development solution, but also about the performance management piece. How is it when people come out from a training intervention that they can actually be supported to do what they're doing and what they've learned? How can we remind them? How do we reward them? How do we measure it? Because unless we know where we're at, we don't know whether there's been any value, whether the performance improvement has actually happened. So it's only by this close working together of us providing the learning development solution, being very close to the business. And then when people come out of their training, that the supervisors, the managers, the leaders, the people themselves actually have that commitment to making sure it happens on the front line, or it happens in a particular area of our business, and we see differences in our people. So that's the underpinning of everything. It's not about, you know, who's had the success. It's about the collective success and showing that, you know, the difference is how we perform. And that's the one focus that's kind of keeps us all together and keeps us, this partnership process, alive.
Now, when you're empowering the managers like this, how has that worked out in real life? You know, when they're now held accountable for the behavior of the people, you know, in the front lines.
Yeah, initially it was, you know, about, you know, getting them to understand that training alone doesn't yield to performance improvement. It's a huge contribution, a heavy contribution, but it's about what they can do, and also showing them that the benefits has long-term consistent improvements in performance, and that's what they want. So when they understood that, unless they come on board, unless they partner with us, unless they drive and consistently monitor and measure and reward their people, they won't see that long-term consistent benefit in performance.
They could even undo it, right?
Exactly.
If they're not consciously or unconsciously, yeah. All kidding aside, I mean, with the best of intentions, if they're not completely aligned with what you guys have done there, they could really undo a lot.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the challenges is in their own role. They have to deliver. They're accountable. What we're showing them now with this new business partnership model is that we can justify the necessity to send people on training. Mm. Because that's one of the biggest difficulties. You know, I can't spare the people because we have a business to run. If I send them to training, that's dead time. But we're showing them now with this business partnership model that by investing in their people, it can actually increase productivity, sales, and whatever it is that happens.
The one great thing for us as well from a training perspective is now we're getting a seat at the table, a seat at the strategic table, actually.
I'll bet.
Yeah, and that's been an absolutely wonderful reaction for us, that when there's any kind of, you know, business need, they won't move unless they have us at the table at the very early stages. So they're not going to pull the trigger and say, we want training, you know, we've decided what we're doing. They're now inviting us at the very, very early stages. We've got a strategic seat at that table.
Do you know how many people are walking this carpet right in front of us that wish they were in that situation? Well, but I suspect that it might be true when I heard you articulate what you're doing and how you're doing it. Your executive leadership, there's no wonder they want you at that table.
Well, I think one of the challenges, and people listening to the show are probably thinking, well, they're in the Middle East, they've probably got millions of dollars to throw at training. The reality with our organization is we're one of the tightest run ships in terms of spend. I have tough times each year justifying our budget and making it happen, and it is a very tight budget. But what we've realized is if we can show the value of what we're investing in, then it's a little bit easier, not a great deal easier, but it's a little bit easier then to get the benefits of the company investing in the training. Mm-hmm. So for people out there who are thinking, well, can I do this? The reality is, yes, you can. It can help your business. It can help you develop your training and development unit. And to look at the concept of the business model, mm-hmm. where you can show the value of what you're producing for the organization.
The key thing for us as well is the people that we have in the training unit itself. You know, we have had to change their mindset. So that's been an uphill journey, but one that they've really embraced. And we've moved from the concept of training being a classroom event, and when they close the doors of the classroom, it's bye-bye and, you know, see you again next mm-hmm. year. It's about being that consultant, about asking the right questions, being relevant in the classroom, but also being relevant when they're back at work. And, you know, post follow-up, linking in with the performance team, making sure that the things that we agreed would happen post-training is happening. And we're changing that whole mindset, and they're loving it. Our people in our building are absolutely loving this consultancy role. You know, we're taking learning and development in beyond the classroom into the business, and that's something that they're also enjoying. And we can only do it with the strength of our people, and we've got wonderful people who are doing that for us.
But now, how long have you been implementing this partnership strategy?
We are into year two. We're about halfway through our second year. The first year was very slow. We were quite measured. We took our time. We wanted a soft launch. And I think in the last 4 to 5 months, we've seen a huge move. And we've had a paradigm shift internally where our people are saying, wow, I can't actually do this any other way anymore. Now that you've shown me the way, I can't go back.
But if we go back about a year ago, there was a big reluctance to do it. People were saying, this is too hard. How are we going to get the line managers to get involved? How are we going to get the business to support us on this? And Joyce and her initial team were brilliant. That they persevered with it. They had some very late nights trying to make it work. And I think when they proved the point that they did their first major project with our call center, our reservations call center in Dubai, which is a phenomenal unit. And when they saw the benefit and showed the results, we even had passengers coming up to the call center, driving to the call center, say, wow, the service was so good and we're really impressed. How did you make that happen? And it all came back to the business partnership. So I think for anybody who's listening who thinks, can I do this? Yes, you can, but you have to push at it and you have to push. And there'll be times you want to walk away, but you keep at it. And okay, it's taken us 2.5-3 years to get there. It may be longer in your organization, but trust me, it is worth the effort.
But you kind of beta tested it in one small area.
Yeah.
And then you proved the concept there, and then from that point, did you roll it out in a large way?
Depends on the project. Uh-huh. If we have a line manager who's open to the concept, yes, we'll work with them. Some of the line managers are saying, well, I don't want that responsibility to have to follow up and do the measurement and everything else. So that is one of the challenges. But what we've done is we've got some of the guys who've done it already from the line to go with us, and we do a presentation to the other managers, line managers, saying, look, here's what you can achieve. By hearing it from one of their own,
as opposed to, right, yeah. So now they're getting it from the horse's mouth,
exactly.
Not some theoretical person, an executive that may not know really what's going down in the ground,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah, the first project was, I suppose, one of the hardest because we had to, that was a huge persuasion. It was influencing and negotiating at the first one. We were very lucky that we you know, it's all about building relationships, and we came across an enlightened manager who said, you know, I'm willing to trust you. I'm willing to have a go at this. We need to do something differently. We're growing. We need our people to perform better, faster, more effectively. You know, we need to be different. And he bought into the concept, and he became an evangelist for us, really. He found it tough. He found it really tough. We had times where he would see me coming down the corridor and he would run away.
Because, hiding from you.
Yeah, because he knew I was going to ask him what he was doing and was he doing what was agreed.
Yeah, that accountability thing.
We also, what we do is we use an MOU, which is obviously it's not a legal document, but we call it signing on. So if we agree to do our piece and he agrees to do his piece, he signs on. You know, he saw tremendous results, and he actually, you know, from his perspective, his business just really was excelling. As Brendan said, we'd customers coming with bouquets of flowers to ask to speak. We had people writing in saying, wow, what's happening in your organization? So there was validation in the business. It wasn't just coming from inside out. It was coming from outside in. And other people said, I want a piece of this action. What's going on now? It's different.
Now they're coming to you, right?
They're coming to us. We're not selling anymore. I'm running away and hiding in toilets now.
But I think one of the difficulties that learning and development units face is very often they spend an awful lot of time telling the business how great they are. We did this, we did that, we're wonderful, we've trained thousands of staff. The reality is you can't do that anymore in business. In real business, what you have to do is show the benefit you're bringing to that business. And if they see the result, then you don't need to sort of keep patting yourself on the back. They'll tell you you're doing a good job.
Well, this has been a very inspiring and informative conversation. I'm curious, how will you invest the balance of your time while you're at this conference?
Well, I have to say, we're keeping very busy. We're visiting many different shows. We've been down here, we're everywhere, really. And I have to say, the ASTD is a superb venue for people in learning and development because you really can't learn enough. There's always something on somewhere that you go to and you think, I don't know much about that topic, and you will learn the basics and the fundamentals. So I would say it is really one of the best exhibitions in the world that I've attended in terms of learning and development.
Now, if somebody wanted to learn more about the airline, is there a website?
Yes, emirates.com. Just to put it into perspective, one of the interesting things about our organization is as an organization, we double in size every 3 years.
Wow.
So have a think about that and think about learning and development in that process. And, you know, you'll understand. If you saw us, we probably are quite young, but we look about 90, and that's because of all the...
Speak for yourself, Brendan.
but it's great fun. And I think in the learning and development field, when you get good support, when you can show action in the business, it's great. But as an organization, Emirates.com, have a look at us. We have some fabulous products. We fly to some great places, and hopefully we'll see you on board soon.
And when you got good partners, it's amazing what you can do, right?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Well, it's been an absolute delight having you both on the broadcast. Keep up the good work, and I do think you'll see us on board soon.
Great.
Super. We look forward to it.
All right. We will be back in a few from the show floor of ASTD ICE 2014.
This has been a special Business Radio X production brought to you by Training Pros, your source for local learning and development experts. Learn more at training-pros.com.